IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
It's great to have you back after the break there. Good to have you. If you've just joined us, it is the 9 till noon show. A busy first hour. Lots of you messaging in on whether or not wearing high-vis should be mandatory. The majority at this moment, if this were a democracy that we live in, are in favour. They say aye to high-vis being compulsory for cyclists and pedestrians. We're going to get to some of those comments and maybe a few calls a little later on. Very shortly too, we're going to be talking about this new deposit return scheme. Really interested in the public's views on this. What do you think about it? Are you excited? Are you nonplussed? Also, if you're a business owner, they're quite expensive, these machines. There is a grant, but it doesn't cover all the costs, and maybe you might see yourself as a competitive disadvantage. I don't know. I don't want to put words or thoughts into anyone's mind. I'm not capable of it either. But we just want your views. 086 60 25000 or call 074 91 25000. Now, the Green Minister of State with responsibility for communications and the circular economy, Oisin Smith, joins us now. Good morning, Minister. Thank you for your time.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show.
And it's good to get to talk to you as we see the introduction and implementation of the deposit return scheme. What's the aim of this scheme?
The aim is to clean up the landscape. I've had some great holidays in Donegal. I went up a year ago and went to the Irish College, the Idris Gael in Glen Columbkilla, and I've been in Inishowen. And what I noticed was unbelievably beautiful landscape, particularly in good weather, but also a lot of cans and bottles in the road verges and beside the lake shores and along the coast. And you'd see that in every county in Ireland. So the aim of this scheme is to reduce the number of cans and bottles that end up in our landscape, ruining our landscape.
And do you think that will be achieved? Will this do that?
I really think it will. So I think that what we're doing is, from this day onwards, you're going to see that cans and bottles in your local shop will have a little logo on the side with the return logo on it. That means that there's a deposit on the bottle, 15 cents for a small one, 25 cents for a large one. And when you bring them back, you get the money back. And what we see in all the other countries around the world, and 40 countries have done this, is that you get return rates of about 90%. So we're going to see far, far fewer bottles and cans lying around in our fields, in our landscape. And that's going to be better for everything. It's like we have a right to live in a clean environment, and it's also good for tourism.
I get that, Minister. But, you know, say there's lots of people listening to this programme that are very good about recycling. You know, they've got their separate coloured bins, they wash out their stuff, they put it in, their bottles, that whatever. Now, they would be expected to segregate their cans and bottles from that waste, get into their probably ICE-engined vehicle and drive to their local shop to dispose of them. Where's the reward for those people that are being penalised and having potentially, if they don't have a reason to go to the shop, further damage the environment to fulfil the needs of this scheme?
You're right that most people are good about it. About 60% of people are doing the right thing and putting their bottle or can into a green bin. But then there's another 40%, and a lot of this is people who are drinking drinks on the go, who are in their car, who are just throwing them on the ground.
But so, is someone, you know,
really,
like,
in order to reach those people who are not doing it,
so we're punishing everyone for the people. I just can't see, and I hope I'm wrong, Minister, and it is, we have to wait and see. If someone will drive along our beautiful county that you've seen with your own eyes, roll down the window and chuck a plastic bottle or a can out, I can't see them maintaining the integrity of that bottle and can, heading to their local shop and sticking it in a machine for a voucher refund. You know what I mean? Like, how is that? Are those people really going to be monitored by this refund scheme? Oh, not monitored, motivated, sorry.
They will be motivated. And if it works in every other country, I don't think there's something different about Irish people that we can't do this. I think it's something we can do together. And I think we're all going to get the benefit from it. And I think that some of your older listeners, I mean, just as old as me, will remember in the 70s and 80s that we had a scheme like this before for glass bottles. So, you know,
but you left them on your doorstep, though.
Came in a glass bottle.
Yeah, you left them on the doorstep for your milkman.
For milk bottles, you left them on the doorstep. And for lemonade bottles, you brought them back to the shop and you got money back for them, or you could leave them back in the pub for beer bottles. So then we switched But the manufacturers switched from glass bottles for lemonade to plastic. They were so cheap, they didn't bother having a deposit return scheme. And now we've got, unbelievably, 1 billion bottle, 1 billion plastic bottles and 1 billion metal cans mm-hmm. being produced every year. And they're just, that so many of them are ending up on the ground that we need to do something to fix it. Okay. So there really will be a benefit for everybody. And I know that for some, it is a change, is a big change in the way that you handle your bins. I know that it's different. But I think that we can do this together.
All right. But I think this perhaps for the majority of the country might work. Border counties, for an example, a lot of the mm-hmm. cans and bottles that you've seen on the side of the road, and I'm not saying they were dumped by people from Northern Ireland, but certainly came out from Northern Ireland. We aren't able to recycle a can of Coke we bought in Strabane in Lifford, are we? I mean, where is the sense in that? Again, this feels like it's a rule that benefits really, you know, the majority of Ireland, but doesn't necessarily consider the border regions.
Yeah, the border region is going to be a challenge, and I know that in the UK they want to bring in their own deposit return scheme, and I've got onto the minister in Westminster to say that I want to coordinate with her. I want to have an all island scheme that works for everybody. And we haven't had a minister in Northern Ireland. They haven't got an executive, but they're going to get one soon. And I'm going to be very keen to coordinate with them and make sure that we have a scheme that works on both sides of the border. I'm also concerned to make sure that there isn't smuggling. So we've done a lot of work to make sure that people aren't bringing bottles over and adjusting them or putting on new barcodes to try to get money back. So that's a concern as well. But you're absolutely right. We need to have something that works everywhere in Ireland and particularly in border counties.
Okay. What percentage of the bottles and cans returned will be recycled?
So at the moment, about 60% of the bottles are plastic bottles are being recycled.
In Ireland? We want to get that up. Are they being recycled in Ireland?
No, but they're segregated and they're shipped abroad for recycling.
So are they being recycled abroad? You can't say that.
Oh, yeah, they are. No, really? I mean, absolutely. So, for example, I've been to Shabra Plastic in Monaghan. I've seen them melt down the plastic bottles, turn them into pellets, and then turn them into bin bags. So I've seen the whole process.
They and what about cans? What percentage of the cans will be recycled?
So ultimately, I'm expecting that we're going to reach 90% for both cans and bottles. So, I think it will take us about 2 years to get to that point.
None of them will be burnt. None of these bottles will be burnt anyway. Well, they certainly won't be incinerated. None of them.
Well, in fact, what happens to them is they're all going to be taken to Limerick Polymer.
Yeah.
And because we're going to have such a large quantity for the first time of very clean and segregated plastic bottles and cans, it'll actually create the market for having a full recycling centre in Ireland. Okay. So I expect that we're going to be able to set up a full a place where bottles can be melted down, turned into new bottles without having to ship them abroad. Because obviously it doesn't make sense to be shipping things out of the country. And in fact, a lot of waste is shipped over the border. There's a lot more recycling, for example, of food done north of the border than there is south of the border. And a lot of that doesn't make sense. You want to recycle things as close to the source where they're produced.
Finally, what are you going to do for small businesses? They feel disenfranchised by this. They can't afford the machines. They're at a competitive disadvantage. What are you going to do for small businesses?
Well, in fact, a lot of small businesses around the country have taken them up. I know that there are 31 places, shops in Donegal where you can bring them back. And they're not just the Lidl and the Aldi and so on. They're also Gallagher's and Kavanagh's, McLafferty's, Eurospar and Gertha Herc, the Centra's and Raffo and Donegal and Moville. So what we've done is we've provided a grant for the reverse vending machines, for the machines that take back the bottles. So it'll cover up to half of the cost of putting that in. And also there's a little bit of money paid for each can or bottle that is handled. There's a handling fee for the shopkeeper for each can and bottle that they manage to take in. So what we've seen in other countries is that at first all the big shops go for it. And then after that, there's a second wave of smaller shops saying, we need to do this.
Yeah, but they're already in a really difficult trading environment here. They're already trying to compete with people in border areas going across the border and shopping for their cans and their bottles. And they're competing with your Lidls and your Aldis and what have you as well, who had them in at the get-go. And they can't actually, you've mentioned there's 30, there's many more shops than that in this county, you know yourself. They simply are robbing Peter to pay Paul to try and stay competitive to pay the 30-odd thousand for one of these machines. I mean, can you do more for them?
In fact, I've been into Costcutter this morning to see how they're getting on near to where I live. And what the shopkeeper has said to me is, this pays for itself. It brings footfall into his shop. He gets a grant towards the cost of the machine. He gets a handling fee for each bottle or can that comes in. And he wants to have that. So it's not an incentive to people to go to a big shop instead. And also there's a finance arrangement so the shopkeepers can pay for it as the machine goes along. But he expects that he's going to be able to pay for his machine in the first 3 years. And after that, he'll be making a profit out of it. So it is, I think it's something that small shops will want to do. I think more of them will come on board as the scheme goes on. There are grants, there is help. If you go to return.ie, there's a whole part of the website that will show you for retailers how to get on board with the scheme. There's also a map on that website, return.ie, and that will show your listeners where's the nearest place they can bring back their cans and bottles.
That's where the competitive disadvantage is here, where you are promoting the places that have it, and those that can't afford these machines are being forced to do so, even though they can't afford it. But anyway, you answered that question and you talked about the font, but I don't want to delay you any further. I imagine there's quite a lot of demands to speak to you this morning. So thank you for your time right now. That's Oisin Smith, Green Minister of State with responsibility for communications and the circular economy. But let us get the views of people out there in business and see what their reaction to this is. We'll start with Kieran McKenna, owner of McKenna's Launders in Buncrana and, of course, Quigley's Point as well. Good morning to you, Kieran. Thank you very much for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning.
Right, you heard the minister there. I suppose just really from your perspective as a business person, what's your reaction to this scheme and its introduction?
Well, I would have liked if the minister had stayed on the call because, you know, like other ministers, I feel that most of them are delusional as to how a small business operates. He talked about Shabra Plastics in Monaghan, you know, which is only a small factory on the side of the road. Your listeners will see it when they're travelling between on the Chasseblaney bypass. And if he's saying that factory is currently recycling 60% of the plastic and cans in this country at the minute, you know, he's definitely off the scale. You know, you're quite right, Greg. We operate here in the Neshone Peninsula, and, you know, while different border areas is different, you know, the Neshone Peninsula is unique that people who live in Neshone, a lot of them work in dairy, you know, and they will bring out, say, a plastic bottle maybe that they drank at work or whatever else, and that product is not allowed to be returned. So many visitors that come to Inishowen throughout the summer who are greatly welcomed, you know, they're an important part of our economy. Again, the product that they will bring out will not be able to be recycled. We are a small business. He quite right said there's a grant, but the grant will nowhere near, you know, pay for the cost of the machine. There's big pressure then from bigger retailing companies to follow suit and put in a machine. So typically for our two stores, if I was to put in the machine and the infrastructure that was needed with it, it would cost me over €30,000. For the product that you talked about that's not able to be recycled, I have to provide a bin, and then I have to recycle that product at my own cost.
Wow.
So,
yeah, okay.
And so every item that would be taken out, say, from any listeners here from Northern Ireland that come to Inishowen, they're more than welcome. And we wouldn't discourage them from using the facility or using a bin outside our store. But If say, for instance, if somebody brings a bottle back that can't be rightfully recycled, and the machine doesn't accept it, that goes into the bin also.
So
attached to this.
But Kieran, I was just going to ask you, say I do a weekly shop in the north, which I don't, and I buy, you know, six packs of cans or a large family, and I fill a black bag full of those. If I walk into your shop with a big black bag full of plastic and cans, you're obliged to take them, are you, on the face of this law?
Well, I could stand to be corrected, but if you had somebody with a small carrier bag, a big black bag would be a lot, but say on a small carrier bag, that person's not going to bring them home, Greg. You see it at bottle banks, you know, yourself. That whatever doesn't go into the bottle bank, they just leave in a box. You know, I'm not saying that 99% of the people that you recycle would be very responsible, but them products, if it doesn't go into the machine, they've went to the effort of separating them and everything else. They're not for taking them home. They will be either leaving them in the bin that we have to provide, or maybe they will go across the road or go to the nearest recycling point where they can put them in. But it's an area that they're still, you know, the minister talks about that he will be writing to whenever we get a government, you know, established in Northern Ireland. But there's so many other things, you know, that are against small businesses. You take, we're after coming out of an energy crisis. We have minimum wage. You see so many small restaurants throughout the country that they're closing. And this is just another scheme that was put, the chart was put before the horse. You heard the minister say we don't even as a country have a facility in Ireland to recycle all this plastic in cans. So surely, you know, somebody in his position should have looked at to developing a plant that could take it all first, and then we get into it. And then you'd have small retailers like myself who would be fully engaged and fully behind, you know, that we can see an end product here.
They call that the just transition. Recycling. And it's another thing where the cart seems to have been before the
Greg,
horse here.
Yeah, yeah. Me and you could call it something else, but it's...
We're taking off air.
It's yeah.
Okay, listen, it's, Kieran.
It's typical of a minister to come on and say how great the whole thing will be. You know, I have looked for an exemption for the machine just because our store is within the square footage that you're allowed. Mm. And in 6 months' time, if I feel that this is definitely the way to go, you know, I will have no problem implementing it to machines. But at the moment, like so many small businesses, we can't afford to do it, and we're being pressured by bigger groups, retailing groups that there are in the country.
Well, listen, come here. You and your business plays an incredibly important role in having the service available to people in Buncrana and Quigley's Point, through the employment and spending on produce from the local area. So hopefully no one is discouraged from shopping local through this scheme, because without businesses like yours, communities start to crumble. Kieran, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it. Johnny McGuinness has two hats on as a business person and also as a local elected representative. Good morning to you, Councillor.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to your listeners. Thank you.
Again, I think that the elephant, not the elephant in the room, but the obvious situation here is, 1A, this is not really a border scheme because our lives are a little bit different up here, but B2, it's not really good for the small business person, it seems.
Well, at this moment in time, Greg, the small businesses, as Kieran has eloquently put it before, we're under extreme pressure just to remain open when we're competing against the larger entities that are operating within the county. And the small Irish business that rural Ireland is made up with and which provides most of the employment in rural Ireland, we are under threat. We've had, as Kieran alluded to, we've had an energy crisis where we've been paying between 4 and 5 times the amount for electricity. We've had multiple wage increases, which are welcome. But obviously, all of these inputs going up means that the viability of the small business is getting tighter and tougher every year. Now, this scheme on the whole, I commend the efforts of the Green Party for trying to increase the level of recycling that takes place within the country. But according to a Panda Ireland study last year, we're already over 70% recycling of our plastic bottles. So his target is 90%. To close that gap of 20%, I think there's a number of different ways that this could have been done in a more sensible manner. But turning the small local shop into a waste collection agency is not the way forward. And it's already, as I said, we're already under pressure, and this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
And with more supports, I think, for smaller businesses so that the playing field was level. And I would say again, I have a bee in my bonnet about rules that are good for the country as a whole, but if you start looking at border counties, not so good for businesses that are already trying to compete. It just is ill. It feels a little bit ill thought through. You know, this is where we're going to be, perhaps. You know, people will be glad to get rid of this stuff, and if they can get a few quid, fine. But why didn't we do it correctly and take consideration of the border, take into consideration the small businesses and offer them more supports? Hey, you know, if there is a clawback on this, maybe the government could have front-loaded the cost for the small businesses and took the clawback there, or used it as some sort of a compensation for the challenges that you've talked of, i.e., you know, higher fuel prices, electricity prices and what have you. I'm just saying, with a bit of thinking, this could have actually got over the line with very little controversy, Johnny.
Without a doubt, Greg, I couldn't agree more. If they had come and spoken to the small retailers and not just dealt with the large entities, then we could have steered them the right way. But I don't think it's our responsibility to deliver this scheme. You talked about the grant support. The maximum grant support that you can receive from the government is €3,000 towards the purchase of the smallest machine that you can buy, Greg, is €12,000. So at a rate of 2.2 cents per unit returned, a small retailer like ourselves, we would have to handle 545,455 bottles before we could break even. And I mean, anyone can tell that over 500,000 bottles stacked together, that's an awful lot of green bin bags that we'll have to pay to bag them. And as Kieran alluded to, what about the percentage of non-returnables that we'll have to then dispose of ourselves? Yeah. And worse than again, we're going to have to build a facility, lock up your waste. I mean, the whole thing's preposterous.
And there's those, and you know, when you think about it, there's different sized cans that don't work. The little bottles that you give to children going to school don't count. There's an awful lot in here. And that's also too scrutinizing whether something's dirty or not. You know, the cap has to be on it, I believe. You know, the can, I think, you know, it can't be dented.
I think the cap doesn't have to be on it, Greg.
Well, the can certainly can't be dented. It can't be squashed. All right,
yeah,
okay.
Well, if the cap's on, I suppose the bottle will stay too. I could speak one more point, Greg,
of course,
just in relation
to
this, because it wasn't touched upon. I've done some research into this now. This type of... Now, that goes against the European competition laws for free trade. And listen, if we're trying to get to 90% recyclable by 2030, there's an awful better way to do it. But flagrantly going against free trade legislation doesn't make sense. And as you said, we're on the periphery of the UK here at present until we eventually have a United Ireland. So we're already going to have a northern shopper coming down here to the beaches, beautiful scenic beaches of Inishowen. And those containers and that rubbish isn't going back up the road. And when they pull into my store to try and use a machine, if we go and buy a machine at present, just like here, we're going to hold back for a week or two. I've put in for the dispensation because of the size of the shop, but the chances are that bag of rubbish, when they're told that they can't return it, it's just going to be dropped at your front door. We have a small little bin at the front door, and during the summer months, I empty that bin every day of the week because the amount of rubbish is just tossed in there from people visiting the beach. So we're a long ways off a proper solution to this, and even the brown bins initiative that's coming into rural Ireland as well. You touched on it yourself. Diesel lorries driving around the country picking up food waste. It's disconnected thinking. It's not joined up. They haven't met or spoken to small retailers, and as you said yourself, it's the cart before the horse.
Yeah, and it's just about it feeling fair. And you know yourself, Johnny, too, on a lot of other these issues. I think we all want a planet that is fit for our children and our grandchildren and their children. But it's just there's so many contradictions in the messaging and things that don't make sense. And therein lies the problem. People's goodwill almost goes wasted. Listen, thanks for your views on that. That's Councillor Johnny McGuinness. They're also a business owner. Lots of you calling, messaging in. We'll take an ad break, come back to some of those after these. I want to go to Joe Sweeney, who is IFA chairperson in Donegal. Following a meeting of the IFA National Council yesterday, it was agreed to hold a show of solidarity with farmers across the EU in each county in the Republic. Good morning to you, Joe. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Greg.
Right, okay. So tell us why the IFA are choosing to take this action across the country.
Well, we're just taking this action across the country in solidarity with our farmers across the EU because we're just fed up with the EU taking in rules and regulations and not giving the farmers probably a proper voice. All the rules and regulations are coming in. We had sort of the likes of the Green Deal fork to farm policies. We had moving away from CAP, supporting food production. We have an overcomplicated schemes. We have a lot of schemes at the present, a lot of small schemes, and it's making it just awkward for farmers. We have late payments, with nitrates derogation, natural restoration law, and the proposed Mercosur trade deal now is on the table as well.
We're seeing in France, for an example, we're seeing the French farmers blockade Paris, bails out on roads. They're trying to effectively shut Paris down to get their point across. And I don't mean this disrespectfully, but you guys are going to sit in the dual carriageway in Letterkenny. Why aren't you on behalf of your members taking the type of action that we're seeing in France? What's different about Irish farmers to French farmers?
Well, there is actually no difference, but this is just the first step and just letting them know that we're here. We're just doing it in solidarity with the French farmers and what's going on across Europe. We're not looking to disturb traffic or be a nuisance to the public, but it's just a first step, and it's just in solidarity with our friends in Europe.
And do you see an escalation amongst the Irish farming community in the future that perhaps maybe not going quite as far as the French farmers are, but certainly beginning to disrupt, life to try and make their point the same way the French are doing?
Well, the thing about it is we have to look at food security, Greg, and, we all talk about disruption, and we talk about importing food, and we talk about farmers and that sort of stuff. But like, where's the food going to come? Because all our younger farmers are not going into farming. They're moving away. They're taking other jobs, and it's because the whole system's overcomplicated. So there's no one listening. So that can work. That will work for a while, and can work for a while. But it's not going to work the whole time, and it's only going to be too late when we realise that there's no food, because no one thinks about that part of it.
Yeah, but what's going to change things, though, Joe? The softly approach in Ireland isn't working if you speak to people in the farming community. Yes, some see a future for themselves, but the majority of that I speak to are particularly small farmers, medium-sized farmers, with all the challenges that they're facing at the moment, don't see a future for farming in this country. So at what point do we stop talking about it, and you as an association actually try and start doing something about it, maybe beyond the words? And as I say, I mean that with absolute respect.
Yeah, well, that's probably why we're taking this approach tonight. It's just to work and see where we can take it. It's a very difficult one, but we have to take a stand somewhere. We're going to do this tonight anyway, and see where we're going to go with the first step, and see how it works, and see what happens after that. Because I do know sometimes in Europe, things are actually worse than what happens in Ireland. Sometimes our things in Ireland might be even better than in Europe, believe it or not. But at the minute, We're taking that approach to sort of come out and support Europe.
Show solidarity. I'll get to you. Listen, thanks for that. Joe Sweeney, IFA chair in Donegal. There are going to be acts of solidarity right across the country. And in Donegal, it's at 7 p.m. this evening. Farmers are meeting along the hard shoulder on the dual carriageway, heading into Letterkenny from the Manor roundabout. Just tractors on the hard shoulder, no other machinery. The idea, from what I'm hearing from Joe, is not to discommode the public, but to show solidarity right across the country. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, which you've been keeping us really, really busy on. Thank you so very much indeed. Shall we talk about the recycling scheme? I can't see this new recycling scheme working, to be honest, especially in busy households. Some people do online shopping now to help ease their busy days. What a really interesting point. Not only some people, a lot of people do the online shopping now. I think you're right, Greg. Those that chuck their takeaway wrappings and empty cans and bottles out the car window in the countryside will not stop. It'll be ironic if one of them hit Ronan. Okay, it would be ironic, and I appreciate your sense of humour there. Yeah, I can't see all them going, oh, right, well, I'm not going to chuck it into the hedgerow. I'm going to take it to my local centre and get 15 cent for it, you know? Trying to protect the environment, but we have to drive in our cars to recycle and make sense of that. More Green Party BS that costs everybody a fortune. Roll on the election until we get rid of them. He sounds like a TY student who is doing a project for school. There's no party, by the way. No, just so we're all voting. There's no party of the main parties, as far as I'm aware, that actually opposes this scheme or is presenting a rollback on it. The Irish Times today says the recyclables will be shipped abroad while Return told me on the phone it'll be incinerated in Limerick. So I have to drive 30 kilometres return to get my money back, but the Return company profits. Ask the minister who is kidding who. Well, I can only go, I can ask a question of the minister and he answers it. I have a certain amount of information. My understanding is that we burn most of our waste or ship it abroad and God knows what happens to it there. But listen, there's all different types of views. I actually 100% agree with the minister on this. It's a great idea, and it was a great idea years ago when it was in operation for glass. Sadly, I think that the people that are throwing the rubbish along the roads are not the people who will be recycling. Excellent point of view, and thank you, by the way. We want all points of view, and really do appreciate that. But does it mean that the price of the bottles will increase at the point of purchase? Thank you. Well, you get nothing for nothing, would be the way I would say that. Liam says the minister is talking rubbish and not recycling it either. I do not see any big issue with cans and plastic bottles being discarded. He is exaggerating. Most people use the recycle bin. Or is it that really the recycle bin should be renamed the incineration bin or the export bin? No centre for returning bottles or cans in Glenties. So the nearest is Dunloe or Letterkenny. 30 or 80 kilometres return trip. Such hypocrisy. But you see, in Dublin, in Cork, in Limerick, in the cities, you see, these laws are for cities because really we need to all move into the city and then we can ride the electric buses and we can recycle our cans and we won't use cars and we'll cycle and we'll walk. And like this whole movement really is not like we're part of it, but it's not really designed to work in a rural area. I don't think, is it? That's how it feels anyway. How is the small shop going to store these bottles and cans coming back? How will it be viable for them? It's going to take up stock room. It's absolutely different for larger stores. Yet, you see, they're on big pockets of land. And say, for instance, your Lidl, your Aldi's, I saw a couple of the machines installed outside and they don't even have to have them inside. And the spaces are so big. They're often on such big pieces of land that it's a piece of cake for them. There's gridlock in Letterkenny, by the way. Does Ireland know what's happening at the Dry Arch Letterkenny? Total gridlock around outbound. Haven't moved in 15 minutes. I don't know, but I'm sure someone out there does. Right, back to comments on these and your comments too on the Hi-Viz coming up as well. I can't see how the new cash for empty is being much of a success unless you're buying dozens of bottles every week. It won't be worth while storing and accumulating them in the home, it'll be much more convenient to chuck them in the recycle bin. Who's going to carry a few bottles or cans to the local supermarket just on the chance that they might get a few cents cash or reduction in the shopping? In regards to the recycling, taking back plastic bottles, I always put them in my blue recycling bin, which I pay for. So what I will be doing from now on is not use my blue bin anymore and throw it all out in the rubbish. I'm not paying twice to recycle and pay for petrol to transport plastic bottles back to the shop.
Indeed.
Greg, it annoys me to hear the slick ads on for the new recycling bottles and cans. Advertisers making millions. People who get online shopping cannot avail of the scheme. Also, small local shops won't be able to afford these new recycling bins, and that's where a lot of us buy our bottles and cans. Is it to encourage us to only buy our drinks in large stores? What about hotels and cafes? Where will bottles and cans be recycled? What about your bottles of Budweiser and your wine bottles, can they be recycled? They're glass. I suppose you can already recycle them, can't you? Four lanes at a standstill from the Polestar to the Dry Roundabout. Still only halfway after 20 minutes. Again, anyone out there, you've passed through it, let us know what's going on. Letterkenny to Bonagie at standstill. Where does the emergency services go if they're looking to get through? Well, not up the wrong side of the road because they could get in trouble for that. They've been told they can't do that. I have sources suggest to me, which I think is something I wanted to talk about in the past, by the way. Did you know that if there is an emergency, someone's in the back of an ambulance and they're coming into Letterkenny and the two lanes going into Letterkenny are absolutely chock-a-block and the traffic coming out of Letterkenny is light, that an ambulance can't go up the wrong way with the lights blaring, because they will find themselves potentially getting reprimanded or find themselves being told by the Gardaí that what they've done is illegal and it's the exact same as any other traffic offence. Do you know that? Maybe that's something that you agree with. But I'll tell you one thing. It's a tough call and it's a tough position, I think, to put ambulance drivers in, that they're being told, this is my information from a whistleblower, I suppose you could say, that if you drove up the wrong way up the dual carriageway, even in an ambulance, lights blaring with someone on death's door in the back of the ambulance, that the driver could find themselves sanctioned, and criminal sanctioned too from the police, from the Gardaí, for going up the other side of the dual carriageway. Can you believe that? What do you think? Is that something that surprises you, shocks you, or maybe you agree with it? What is going on at the Dry Arch Roundabout? Stuck in traffic on the Newport Road for the last 25 minutes. How ridiculous can this town get? Again, waiting on someone to let us know what's going on. When the pedestrian lights are broken at a crossing on a canal across from TK Maxx, some car drivers are so thick they won't stop to let folks cross over. Also, pedestrians should raise their right hand to stop them. I do, and folks think I'm crazy. I don't understand Donegal's psychology. Honestly, can't believe what Ronan is saying. Pedestrians need to make every effort to make themselves visible. Would he suggest the use of headlights on cars at night would be optional? That comes in from Jim in Ballybuffet. A caller says that the blame is always on the driver if there's an incident. However, he had a near miss yesterday when a jogger ran straight out in front of him on the road, not paying any attention to the oncoming traffic. Another caller says it's only common sense to wear high-vis jackets when walking, but we don't see them that often. You know, the reason this conversation is happening, really, is because so many people, and we see them all the time when you're driving, or even when you're walking, I'm sure you walk past other people that aren't wearing a high-vis and you wonder, really? Are you rolling the dice like that? That man is wrong in relation to not having to wear high-vis when walking or cycling. By law, tractors need to have a flashing amber light so other road users can see them coming. Surely, if a tractor which is a lot bigger than the majority of other vehicles needs to be seen, then things smaller than other vehicles need to be able to be seen by other road users as well. Pedestrians and cyclists have no legal need for insurance, so that's why they can do what they like. They are a law unto themselves, the listener says. Greg, every breathing human being is responsible for behaviour that contributes to their own safety and the safety of others, whether they be drivers, cyclists or walkers. All responsibility should not be laid on the vehicle driver. All are equally responsible for road safety. All right, Gary joins us on line one, maybe to give us an update on what's happening with the traffic in Letterkenny. Gary, thanks for your call. What's the story?
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, they're resurfacing the hull at Lurgy Breck. So therefore, they're stopping all the traffic leaving Letterkenny, so there's no traffic allowed out to dual carriageway just because they're resurfacing the hull at Lurgy Breck.
So no traffic can go out towards Lifford or Derry?
Stopping that, everything's been stopped at the Dry Arch roundabout. So even though I was stuck on it there for about 35 minutes, heading out to Derry Road, I'm going out to dual carriageway. There's nothing on the dual carriageway, but a man was on there the last wee while ago. He was chatting about the farmer's block and the dual carriageway.
Yeah.
We can do that. We don't need the farmers to do it. We can do it on our own. So the traffic skewed all the way to dual carriageway, also out to the Trimra Junction.
Right, okay. Right, so
Because one road in Letterkenny has been resurfaced, the whole of Letterkenny has to come to us. Gridlock.
Unbelievable stuff.
It's a bit silly.
Thanks for your update. I really do appreciate it, Gary. That's what's happening